Well, good morning. It's great to see you people here this morning. Especially a special welcome to our visitors. It's good to have you to share with us on this special day when our Lord Jesus Christ was born. I'm sure we'll all celebrate that later with family and friends. And on your behalf, I welcome the Reverend Ian Sexton. Good to have you, Ian, once again. And Coralie, I think, is also here, his wife, lovely wife up at the back there. Welcome. And on the organ, we have this beautiful sounds coming out there as our organist, Gordon Wallace. Thank you, Gordon. And these lovely folk here are going to also give us some music, as you're hearing already. Those of you up in Dart Lounge, you can not only hear what I have to say, which is not that important what I say, but you can see the congregation. And we wish you a very happy Christmas from down here to Dart, and those that listen on the tape later on, there's a ministry to you too. Bring as we leave this morning, as usual, up at the back there is a small box there if you wish to donate, and on the left hand side as you go out, there will be a box available there on the table. It's a special offering for Baptist World Aid. If you wish, you can place your offering there. Our speaker next Sunday will be the Reverend Harry West. Just before I leave you, I don't know how many folk would have listened to Carols by Candlelight last night, but I was really thrilled as I one particular mention I'd like to make was Sylvie Palladino, I think the lady's name was, and she sang about the Lord Jesus Christ, and she said, or the title of the song was, "Your Grace Amazes Me," and I was amazed as she sang that so beautifully.
Good morning, everybody, and particularly to those in Dart Lounge. We can't see you, but you can see us, which is a bit of a change, isn't it? But may I, on behalf of Coralie and myself, wish you all a very happy and a holy Christmas as you worship today. Let me commence with just one or two verses from Scripture. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." We're going to commence our service with one of those tremendous carols. We're going to sing a number of carols this morning. This is number 104, "O Come All Ye Faithful." We're going to sing just four verses, the first two and the last two. Verses 1, 2, 5 and 6. "O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye, to Bethlehem." Isn't that music really something? Let's bow in prayer together as we just give praise to God for all that he has done. Our Heavenly Father, we want to come into your presence today because we are joyful, and we do together want to give thanks to you for the gift you have given to us, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we think of that hymn, true God of true God, light of light eternal, Father, we can't even begin to comprehend what it meant for Christ to come. But Father, we want to give you thanks that you sent him and that he came knowing that he would die and that he would die on a cross for our sins. Father, how do we ever say thanks for such a gift? Father, we pray that as we sing these hymns together this morning, as we share from your word, Father, we pray that all we do will truly give honour and glory to you, King of kings and Lord of lords. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I said we're going to sing a number of carols this morning. In consultation with Harry, we decided we ought really to sing quite a number. And so we're going to do that. We're going to sing a bracket of two right now, and I'm going to suggest that you stay seated to sing. The first one is number 89, Angels from the Realms of Glory, a great hymn. We're going to sing just verses 1 and 2, number 89. Now a very well-known carol, number 109, The First Noel the Angels Did Say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. we could sing those all morning, couldn't we? I want to read to you from the Gospel of Luke, Luke's account of Christ's birth. If you want to follow in the pew Bibles, I'm going to read from that so that it's easy for you to follow me. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to commence at verse 1. We're going to read just the first 7 verses initially, and then later on we'll read from verse 8 onwards. You know the story well, I'm sure, but listen to it afresh. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. We'll pick the story up again in a moment, but just think of that scene for the moment. There's so much that we already know, I guess, about the story. But as I was reading it through this morning, something that struck me was the little fact that it says that, and I'm trying to find the verse, verse 6, so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished, were completed for her to be delivered. Somehow we sort of see Mary as, arriving, and that very night she has the baby. But I wonder whether that's really what Scripture's saying. It says, while she was there, the time was completed. So maybe they'd been there some days. Maybe they'd had time to settle into that little manger. We're not sure. There's lots of things we don't know about Christmas. And sometimes it's good to just read it afresh with fresh vision. We're going to take opportunity to sing again. Again, one of the great carols that I'm sure you won't even need the hymn book to sing. Number 98, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King, Peace on Earth and Mercy Mild, God and Sinners Reconciled. Think about the words as you sing, because it really captures what Christmas is all about. We're just going to sing verses 1 and 2 of the next two carols. Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us. What a tremendous thought. Let's go over to 106. Once in Royal David City stood a lowly cattle shed where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother mild, Jesus Christ, her little child. Only be a small group, but boy, you're singing well. It's great to hear it. And of course, the music is just tremendous. We're going to continue our reading from the book of Luke. We'll pick it up at verse 8 and read through to verse 20. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." And so it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marvelled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. We pray that as you contemplate that message today, that it really will be a great blessing to each of you. I'd like to lead you in prayer now, thinking more pastorally, I guess, of those who are rejoicing today around the world. We're fortunate that we're one of the first countries in the world to start the ball rolling, as it were, and to worship. New Zealand, of course, beats us by a couple of hours. But as the sun rolls around the earth, the world will rejoice at the birth of Jesus Christ. And we need to pray for all those who will be rejoicing today. We need to pray too for those who will be sad. I can't help but think of the East family from Kenmore Church who suffered the loss of two sons just a week or so ago. I can't imagine what it would be like to sit at the Christmas table opposite two empty chairs. And we need to pray for people in situations like that, particularly for them. Pray too for those that are suffering today. While the church will rejoice at the birth of Christ, there are many Christians who will do so in very difficult circumstances. We need to pray for them. There are those who are ill and finding it difficult today, and we need to pray for those two. Let's pray. Father, again, we just want to come before you and lift our hearts up with joy at the birth of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And Father, to refresh our hearts with the meaning of Christmas, to really take hold of what it meant for us. And Father, as we do that, we think of those right around the world who today will rejoice because of the birth of your Son. Father, truly, the world has never been the same again. Father, we would pray that you would be with all who will uphold your name today. May your name be proclaimed throughout the earth. Father, I'd take time too to think of those who will be conducting services around the world. Father, I think particularly of those who will be doing so in jails this morning. Father, what an opportunity to preach the gospel. And there will be those who will come to services around the world who have never heard of Jesus Christ before, or perhaps have heard but not really understood. Father, we would pray that the gospel might really go out in power in all of those situations today, that there would be those who would come into a new relationship with you today because of the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray too for those who suffer today. Father, we think of the church in difficult circumstances, for those in Islamic countries. Father, for those in other difficult situations where they find they are under great oppression. Father, we would pray for them, that as they seek to rejoice at the birth of your Son, that you will indeed just be with them, fill them in a fresh way with your Holy Spirit, enable them to go on within their Christian walk, even in the circumstances in which they find themselves. Father, we think of those who are hurting today, and I think, Father, particularly of the East family. Father, we can but share in their grief in a small way, and Father, we would uphold them and ask that your arms will be round about them, that they will really know your love today. Father, as we pray for them, we think of others. For Father, there must be many around the world whose hearts are heavy today because of loss of family. And Father, we would pray for them, that you would be with them. Father, we would pray that you would be with those who are sick, who are struggling with the whole of life itself. And Father, we pray that you will just lift them up today, that there will be those who will be able to come alongside and to be a blessing to them. Father, we thank you for the staff here who are working, for those who will seek to minister in small ways to people within this place. Father, thank you for them. Thank you for their willingness to work on a day like this and to be here and to be a part of serving others. Father, we pray that you will indeed bless them for the service that they give. Father, be with us, we pray, as we continue in our worship of you. Father, may we truly know your presence in our lives too. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's move to carol 113, and we're going to sing the whole of the carol. While shepherds watch their flocks by night. I guess one thing that fascinates me about our society is the way it celebrates Christmas. It's one day of the year when there's no newspapers. And yet it's the one day of the year where there is some really good news that we ought to be wanting to print. And yet we don't do it. The angels, when they came to the shepherds, said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." The good news is that God sent his Son. Jesus, born of Mary, born to be our Saviour. Christmas is an exciting time. It's a time for families. It's a time of giving. It's a time of decorating. It's a time of celebrating and feasting together. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. It's a time of thinking about a baby in a manger. But at the centre of Christmas, the really heart of Christmas, is this great good news. And the good news is not just that a baby's been born. The good news is who that baby is. For this baby is none other than our Saviour. Mystery of mysteries. Stop for a moment and contemplate what it means. The infinite God becomes finite. The eternal God becomes time-bound. Think about it. The infinite, eternal God, who has never known any boundaries of time and space throughout all eternity, suddenly accepts the boundaries of time and space that are so common to us. God, who is spirit, becomes human flesh. The creator of all things becomes the created. And the greatest mystery of all, he who held the universe in his hand, the sustainer of life, the sustainer of all things, chooses to come as a helpless little baby, completely dependent upon his mother. Christmas is at its core the celebration of the greatest miracle of all time. And why? Because of God's incredible love for us, his creation. I read earlier John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." You know, I think you're all well aware that I'm a jail chaplain. One of the greatest things that can excite me is to see a guy in jail for whatever he's done, accept Jesus Christ as his Saviour, and to see the change that comes in his life. That, more than anything else, convinces me of the reality of God. I love looking at the stars. I love looking at creation. And I see God in that. But when I see God change a life, I know that's something that only God can do. God so loved the world. God is not willing that any should perish, Scripture says, but that all should come. Whosoever will may come. And it's all possible because at Christmas, God gave us the gift of his Son. Matthew records it. He says, talking of Mary, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And whether we like it or not, central to Christmas is the concept of sin and the lostness of mankind. We cannot save ourselves. All of us have sinned, Scripture says. The Bible says mankind has turned away from God. All have come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is ultimately death. Separation from God throughout all eternity. Can you imagine what that is like? If you want a picture of hell, think of that. Hell is where God is not. God is love. There is no love in hell. God is all compassion. There is no compassion in hell. God is in essence community, fellowship. There is no community, no fellowship in hell. The wages of sin, he says, is death. But the good news is that God, the one whom we sinned against, so loved us that while we were still sinners, he provided a way of salvation. And he sent the baby of Bethlehem. And the good news is that this baby whose birth we celebrate today is the Saviour of the world. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is God with us, Emmanuel. And the good news is great joy when we take it into our lives and accept it. Christmas is indeed a time of joy. Not just the joy of family and celebration. It is that. It's lovely that that's there. And it's great that we can do that because that's a gift from God. But the joy of Christmas comes not in celebrating Christmas, but in being the people of God. The good news was intended to be for all people. But what does that mean? Not everybody received the good news with great joy. King Herod certainly didn't. His reaction to the good news was to kill every baby boy in Bethlehem under 2 years of age. The priests and the Pharisees didn't greet Christmas with great joy. Many of the guys that I see in jail don't greet Christmas with great joy. They can only wait to get out to sin again in a bigger and better way. The great joy that was to accompany the good news was for those who received it gladly. And the great joy is for those who become the people of God. To those who come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Saviour. And to know him as the person that the angels declared him to be. Saviour, Lord and King. And the message of Christmas has inescapably to do with our sin. For Christ is Saviour. That's what Jesus means, the one who saves. And there is great joy in knowing that Jesus has dealt with our sin. That he's taken it away as far as the east is from the west, and he chooses to remember it no more. There is great joy in the announcement that the angel made, that Jesus' task on earth was to deal with sin and to usher in the kingdom of God, an eternal kingdom, a kingdom of great joy, a kingdom in which there will be no grieving, a kingdom in which families like the East's will be reunited with their children. And the joy the angel promised was not an indiscriminate joy. It was a joy that came to those who accepted the good news. That here was their Saviour, their Lord, and their King. Let me ask you the question. I know many of you know the answer already. But is Jesus your Saviour? Is Jesus your King, your Lord, your God? If he's not, let him be today. Until Jesus came, only the Jews could call themselves the people of God. But when the angels came, the announcement was that the good news is now to all people. Yet right back in the early chapters of the Old Testament, God had promised to Abraham that through his seed all the people of the world would be blessed. And now in the coming of Jesus, there was no more Jew and Gentile, no more bond and free. All could know the joy of being in Christ, of being a part of the people of God. African and Australian, Chinese, Canadian, North American, South American, European, Asian, whatever, all could know the good news of Jesus Christ. Let the song go round the earth, the hymn says. Jesus Christ is Lord. Isaiah talks about it going to the far islands of the sea. We're the far islands. This is for us. Just think what it meant for the gospel to reach Australia. And the good news is that at Christmas, we remember how God laid aside his glory and became a human being, a baby born in a manger. Good news, a great joy, the scriptures say, to all the people. Do we really want all people to hear? The world has never been the same since the birth of Christ. Nearly every major change in our society has come about because of the impact of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The abolition of slavery, the building of hospitals, and we can go on and on. All of these things flowed out of the birth of the baby of Bethlehem. It's Christmas Day. It's a day of great rejoicing, great celebration, a day of good news, of great joy for all the people. And as you celebrate today, experience afresh the good news. As you gaze upon the baby of Bethlehem, worship with great joy Jesus, our Saviour, our Lord and our God. We're going to close our service with a final carol. And let me remind you as we prepare for that, that there is an offering box for World Aid as you leave, for Baptist World Aid. Please think seriously about that, because it's so important that we touch others and share with them the joy of our Christmas. We're going to sing together the chorus number 111. It's a chorus that sums up our response to Christmas. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was found no room for thy holy nativity. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. This is a hymn of response. How are you going to respond today to the baby of Bethlehem? Let's bow for the benediction. And this Christmas day, I'd like to use this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.